Richard Marx is in the studio with us. He's got a new album out called Limitless. It drops tomorrow. And this is one of the hits from that particular...
Looking through the last 10 days I've texted you, Sam. Wondering if all of what you said is what you meant. I guess it's over now, but you never gave a reason why. I guess it wasn't worth the work, cause you never even said goodbye. And I should just give you up.
So this particular single that you've got out has got a pretty sexy video attached to it. You're doing it's interesting. You're building now the whole video world that you guys are in,
yeah,
in the pop music scene.
Yeah.
It's no longer the MTV.
No.
It is no longer the VH1.
No.
It is now the YouTube.
It's the YouTube, yeah. And it's the socials. It's the social medias,
right? And then and probably more people see them now than maybe at the height of MTV. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
but since that moment, I'll bet you that more people see them in a lot of ways.
I think probably when I see the view counts on especially some of the old videos,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to look it up. But like the video for Right Here Waiting it's something like 700 million views or something ridiculous.
that is pretty ridiculous.
It's something like that. It's crazy. I'm probably exaggerating because I've told you a million times not to exaggerate, but I think it's still important in a much smaller way, but I still think it's important to have visuals out there to promote your stuff.
Do you like doing the videos?
No, I hate doing videos. I always did, though. I always hated it. I was so boring. I made a few videos that I'm really proud of. I thought the Hazard video was really well done. It was like a little mini movie, and I liked a couple of the videos where I'd have a couple of friends, you know, involved. So the video for that clip you just played, the snippet, Another One Down, was I didn't love doing it because it was a lot of sitting around waiting, but all my sons made appearances in it. A couple of friends. This new video for Front Row Seat, which comes out tomorrow, which I'll post on our socials tomorrow, stars my wife, Daisy Fuentes, and
your dog, Betty Davis.
My dog, Betty Davis, and my band, and Matt Scannell's in it, because Matt co-wrote the song with me. And it's a really, really fun video. I'm really excited for people to see this new video.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it's got a feel. You said it to me last night. You've got this feel in it that is... It's very comfortable. There's a sort of an era. You see a lot of country crossover artists doing it now, where it's just sort of it's a party scene essentially.
Yeah.
And not a party scene on a boat with Becca and
right.
Pitbull, but right. It's a party scene, you know, like of family and friends being together and stuff like that. It's just very comfortable.
Yeah. It's I think it's just it's a fun song, and so we wanted the video to be really uplifting and fun, and we shot most of the stuff with me and Daisy is right down the street from our house in Malibu. And it's almost like a little day in the life. I mean,
now, why didn't you shoot it in your house?
We did.
Oh, right down. Oh, I thought you said it was right down the street because I thought. All right.
Well, we shot some in the house.
Yeah.
At the beach house where we live most of the time. And then.
Mm-hmm. In case there's a real estate agent awesome. Listening, go ahead. Yeah.
And then this place 5 minutes away, which is called Westward Beach, which is Point Dune, basically. And you'll see in the video, it's the most. Spectacular view.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And we hike there 2 or 3 times a week.
No, it's interesting too. Is that you're using drone technology in it too?
Yeah,
which I thought was really cool.
Well, I requested that. It wasn't initially in the production, and I said, "Look, it's not that much more expensive to do, and if you get a great operator, and it totally made the video. Those
right.
the drone shots are so unbelievable.
Actually, you know what's really funny? As a I'm a big expert in cinema now because I do this podcast with Richard Roper. But I
one of the top podcasts of the year.
Yes, that's true. That is true. The 2019 into 2020. There's a shot, an ocean shot,
yeah.
that I have never seen on film before.
Yeah,
that is in that video.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself, why hasn't anybody done that before?
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Nick Spanos, by the way, is the guy that directed this and the last clip, and he's a really wonderful filmmaker in L.A. He's done a lot of short films and videos, and great photographer. And he just makes it easy. I just say, you know, it was his whole concept, and he just wanted Daisy and me to show
up. How long does it take to shoot? Because that's what a 3.5 minute video.
I mean, it was 3.5 minute video. We shot the first day of performance and cutaway shots. It was maybe 5 hours, 6 hours tops. And then the next day was just me and Daisy at the house and at the beach for 4 hours.
Good.
It was 10 hours
and you're out.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days. How long did it take right here waiting? Do you remember?
Oh, God.
Like 6 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. No, it was like probably 3 full days of, you know, 18-hour days.
Yeah.
And, back then it was arduous.
Two of the hours was getting her hair together.
No
right?
kidding.
Wasn't that the thing?
No kidding.
To get the mane going?
No,
Richard Marks
mane? It was pretty quick to get the hair going, but then once the sweat started, it was maintaining the hair. That was a team.
Can I just ask you a question? I mean, people will remember Richard Marks from that era.
Yeah.
The gigantic, it was like a lion. I know there was, you were once on the Johnny Carson show. I'm sure they're running it on Antenna TV, the reruns of Carson, they're literally, it looks like it's 60 pounds of hair on your head.
Yeah.
How hot was that to have on your head?
Hot in a sexy way or?
No. I know the ladies kind of liked, I don't know. Did ladies, I've always been conflicted by this. That, you know, if women want to be with a guy who's got better, longer, more luxurious hair than they have.
My experience is that they did.
Oh, interesting. We'll be right back with Richard Marks. But first, Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather. Richard Marks is joining us in the studio right now. This is his new single, Limitless, from the album Limitless, available tomorrow. Is ours, whatever we want it to be. Pour it down all over me. I'm lost, I'm found. I hold you like a mystery. I'll meet you where no one else can see. Limitless, Richard Marks, that's the title track of his new album that drops tomorrow. And it's found where all fine albums are sold, Downtown Records and Tapes, right? Isn't that
yes.
where it is?
That's,
yes. That's where we're going to get it. Rose Records. Where else can we find it?
Rose Records. Yeah,
Rose Records
that's
Virgin.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
On the internet where all music is bought and sold and stolen. But it's different now. I mean, there was a moment where singer-songwriters like yourself, because this is your whole business.
Yeah.
That there was a moment where everything was being stolen and there was no money left.
Right.
And you weren't selling records, you weren't selling tapes, and you weren't selling CDs. You were selling stuff that moved on to Napster and all the rest of it, and YouTube is another place where people were getting their music.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit, though. It's kind of, it's
working.
Yeah,
now instead of getting nothing for our music, we get 0.0000001 cent.
But it's something.
But it's something.
Yes. And it is. And but there's still radio play, right? And there's internet. There's internet downloads.
Yeah, the internet downloads are, you know, sort of like the last saving grace. There are actually, believe it or not, there are still people that still buy CDs from Amazon or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, the Spotify and Pandora world, you know, especially Pandora has been pretty good to me. So I on one hand, I can't complain, but it's not about me. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the generation of young songwriters who are just not being able to make a living, even when they have a successful song. And if you want to Google, you know, this topic, you'll see, you know, people like Pharrell, you know, on these massive songs, making a pittance, you know,
compared to what they would have been making in the
Well, I mean, it's just, it's just like you, like a struggling songwriter could sort of make a decent living by having a hit here and there, like even a top 30 hit or whatever. Now that's like, you know, my son Lucas said, you know, now if I'm lucky enough to, you know, get somewhat of a song that gets played, I might be able to buy a case of Nutrageous bars. You know?
That's a band. That's, and he's a writer and a producer.
Yeah.
Right. So that, and that was where the real money is. So where, what's happened to the economy of music? Where
touring? It's all touring. Because it's the one thing you can't steal.
But people have to fall in love with the song to want to go to the tour.
That's for an
emerging artist.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a little bit of a, it's tricky. You know, I mean, I'm again, I can't be more grateful to have a catalog of songs that keeps me available to be on the road and have people come to see me play because they want to hear the songs of the last 32 years. But if I just had one song or two songs, maybe that's tricky.
Yes, I would say that is true.
But there are people doing it. There are artists out there that are, you know, doing gigs that really only had one hit or two hits. So they somehow make it work.
So you are, this is, it's an interesting thing about your business model here, Richard Marks, is that you are now primarily a touring artist,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got this album out. You had an album two years ago.
When you met me, it was the opposite.
Right.
I was barely touring, and I was mostly just in the studio making records for other people and writing songs for other people and writing, you know, doing my own stuff. And I wasn't touring that much, and it's completely flipped in the last 12 years, 13 years since I met you.
So do you feel... But the touring stuff is it still fun and
more
invigorating?
Fun than ever. I'm having more fun performing now than I ever did before. Part of it is this feeling of just really being there because I want to be there, because I have a love for it that I never had before, especially doing these solo acoustic shows mixed in with band shows. I love the band shows. It's a blast, and you've seen the band show, and it's fun. And it's just a party.
Yes.
But so is the solo acoustic show, and it's unlike any other solo acoustic show I've ever seen, because the way I engineer it is that it's not, I'm not talking about, you know, what I was going through when I wrote this. Nobody cares. It's like I try to make this 1,000, 1,200, 1,400 people, whatever, in those theaters feel like they came over to my house and we're sitting in my living room and I pour a martini and I just hang out and tell them stories and play them songs.
And you actually do pour a martini.
I do. I always have a martini.
He's a martini on stage. This is, you know, you're kind of the follow-on. I was more of Dean Martin, I think, than Sinatra.
He was my hero. Dean was like, if you look at, just go Google pictures of Dean Martin, he's the happiest person you've ever seen.
Right.
In the history of ever.
Right. Well, that's when you Google the pictures, that does appear to be the case.
He's just having fun, and that's what I'm doing too. And the martini is just a side thing. I do love a martini,
but it is a real martini.
It's a real martini.
I unfortunately have seen this in action, and I've actually helped make the martini,
yeah.
And then I can't get out from backstage. See? And there you are. I don't know how you're able to do it.
I enjoy a martini.
Yes, I understand. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the artists that you have worked for too,
okay.
That you've written for. For,
yeah.
Because that's a big, you know, a gigantic piece of the business here. And there's that, you know, we talked about NSYNC.
Yeah.
And you wrote one of their biggest hits of
This
all
I
time.
Promise You, yeah.
Yeah, This I Promise mm-hmm. You. And one of my favorite moments, because you had an amazing, you know, you've filled football stadiums throughout your career. You had one of the last great careers of music, right? You hit right at the moment where you could, you know, put out multiple platinum records, and you could play stadiums, and you could make a living doing that.
Yeah.
A very nice living
yeah.
doing that. And then, like, you know, like you said, like your kids now, it's almost an impossible situation
yeah.
to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And to other great, and there's such great acts, such great artists out there right now.
Yeah.
But you had a moment when you were writing. What year did you write that song for NSYNC?
99, I guess.
Right. Right about there.
They were the biggest group on the planet. They'd had their first album, which just went crazy. And this was their second album.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to me, and I wrote a song kind of that night and pitched it to them, and they loved it. And then they said, would you like to come and produce it as well? Which means, you know, go into the studio and make the record. So I worked with them for 3 days and nights, and it was a blast. They're such classy guys. Total pros. These young kids. I mean, they were kids.
Right.
And they were... Their work ethic was amazing, and it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Except leaving the studio when some hot girl told me that Her mother was in love with me.
Because you went out the front door of the studio. They had to go through like a cavern to get out, yeah, just to get away,
oh, yeah,
from
there
their
was
fans.
They were going through secret passageways because there were all these girls camped out in the parking lot. I was just going out the front door,
right,
getting in a car, going back to the hotel.
And you got recognized, though.
I did.
Yes.
Because her mom dug me.
That's nothing more humiliating than that. I get that, too. My grandmother loves you. What is the biggest, what was the biggest hit, biggest moneymaker hit of the ones you've written for other people?
Probably that one. Better Life for Keith Urban. That was 6 weeks at number one on the country charts.
Yeah.
I've written three hits with Keith that he's taken. One was top five and two number ones, Long Hot Summer and Better Life. Those were great. But This I Promise You was just, I think it was number one on the AC chart for 13 weeks in a row, something like that.
Now,
I heard a little banjo music. I heard a little Keith Urban.
Yeah, here we go. There's a little Keith Urban for you.
Friday night and the moon is high. I'm wide awake just watching you sleep. And I promise you, you're gonna have more than just the things that you need. Just starting now, and I know somehow paradise is coming. Someday, baby, you and I are gonna be the ones of good luck.
Richard Marx is going to be at the Arcata Theater Sunday night, arcatalive.com. If you want tickets to that,
see
him.
I might need to do that song that night.
You might have to.
I haven't
to
played
do
Better
song.
Life in a while. I usually do Long Hot Summer in my little portion of the show where I do songs I wrote for other people, but I might have to bust out Better Life.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, buddy.
Yes, thank you.